The Lord be with you.
And
read it from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus went to the district of Tyre. He entered a house and wanted no one to know about it, but he could not escape notice. Soon a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. She begged him to drive the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied and said to him, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps." Then he said to her, "For saying this, you may go. The demon has gone out of your daughter." When the woman went home, she found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. The Gospel of the Lord. The opening prayer we prayed together, the hope of God's heavenly grace. The hope of God's heavenly grace. Every day we should pray that we understand grace better, that we appreciate grace, we grow in grace. If we have the misfortune to lose grace, to return to grace as soon as possible, and to turn to the full of grace, to help us. On Saturday, we celebrate Our Lady of Lourdes. And she said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." That was her title. So let's turn and beg the full of grace that we would appreciate grace more and more. The doctor of grace, his name is Saint Augustine. He's known as the doctor of grace. And if you read his writings, basically he's going to be telling you that if we can do any good, it is God's grace. When we're able to do good, it's called prevenient grace. Every good action is preceded by God's grace. Very important we understand that. So not to toot our own horns when we're doing anything good, but rather to attribute the glory to God. As the psalm says, not to us, but to you be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, first reading, okay, a very important reading in many reasons, because we're going through the book of Genesis, but also to prove the importance of God creating man and woman. Therefore, after the topic of abortion, this is the most important topic. Abortion is number one. Then the second is the sake of the family, and there's a militant struggle against the family because of the whole idea of the same-sex unions that were legalized on a national basis about 2 years ago. So we have to pray that our government will change two laws. One is Roe versus Wade. The second would be the legalization of same-sex unions. That has to be in our prayers constantly. And one of the arguments that that practicing homosexuals utilize is that it's something that you're born that way. something that's chromosomatic or something genetic. And that's false. That's false. That's not proven at all. It's false. There's a very good website for those who are struggling with same-sex attractions. It's called Desire of the Everlasting Hills. Okay? I repeat, Desire of the Everlasting Hills. And there's a very good documentary that came out probably about 5 years, 4 or 5 years ago, of three individuals, two men and a woman, that started to practice homosexuality. And the woman, I'll give you a brief summary of what happened to this woman. This woman was a professional, highly intelligent, but her desire was to find a man, get married, and raise a family the way it should be. But it happened that more than once she was rejected by a man. And this rejection by a man caused in her a great wound, suffering, and this sense of rejection caused within her a great sense of loneliness, or the crushing loneliness. So one day she was in Arizona and she went to a bar and she met a woman who had the same problem. They started to talk and they recognized they had a lot in common, two highly intelligent professional women making a lot of money. But both of them had been rejected. So they started to talk and there was an emotional bond. They, so to speak, fell in love. They started to live together. And they lived together for something like 40 years until this other woman died of cancer, I think it was. And the protagonist, this woman, after having been separated from the church for 40 years, returned to the church by sacrament of confession and started to receive the Eucharist. And now she says that her life is truly has meaning. But it wasn't something that was genetic or chromosomatic. Rather, it was rejection and loneliness. So never forget that. We're all called to live a social life. We're all called to live a social life. And if our social life is not going well, we can turn to pornography, we can turn to drinking, we can turn to drugs, we can turn to a disordered social relationship. Now, very rarely do I quote this individual, and I don't agree with him on many things, and his name is Sigmund Freud. But one thing he got right is this, that the human person has two great desires. He has desires to be happy with his work, happy with his work, and to be happy in his social relationships. I think he hit the nail on the head. Freud is not to be canonized, okay? Okay? Because his human anthropology is off, obviously. He doesn't understand original sin. But the fact that he recognized that we're all called to have friends. We're all called to have friends, people that we can connect with, we can talk with, we can laugh with, we can enjoy their company. Hey, Jesus decided to come into the world and live in a family, right? Jesus chose 12 friends. Who are they? The apostles. St. Dominic formed the Dominicans, right, a family. St. Francis formed who? The Franciscan Order, a family. So that, having good social connections and being happy with our work, Some of you people are retired, other you, if you work, hopefully, if you don't like your work, that's not good. So that's one of the reasons why there is homosexuality and lesbianism, is because there is a sense of rejection. People that are rejected are very vulnerable and they can turn in many different directions. So that's my comment on the first reading. Gospel is, very briefly because my time has almost expired, is a beautiful model for prayer. Model for prayer. This woman recognized her daughter was in trouble. She heard that Jesus was in town. She went after Jesus. She's there at his feet, humbly begging the Lord to help out. Apparently she seemed to be rejected by Jesus. She says, Lord, heal my daughter who's possessed by a devil. And the Lord says, it's not right to throw the food of the children to dogs. What a, seems to be an insult. And then she says something so beautiful that moved the heart of Christ. But Lord, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from their master's table. And our Lord says, woman, because of what you said, may it be done according to your desire. And when she returned, her daughter was completely healed. So what we learn from that is a model of prayer is that we have to be humble, we have to be persistent, and we have to have faith. Those are three of the essential qualities of any good prayer. We have to be humble. Humility is a very important virtue. We have to be persistent. We have to keep knocking at the door. Remember that widow, Luke chapter 18, she's knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking, and she's knocking. We have to be persistent, like Saint Monica prayed for more than 30 years. But also, we have to have faith. This woman, who was a pagan, she was a Syrophoenician, she was not a Jew, she really believed that Jesus Christ could heal, and Jesus healed immediately. So every time we come to Mass, my friend, there are so many beautiful messages that we can take from the opening prayer, we can take it from the first reading, we can take it from the Gospel, we can take it from the Psalm. So we invite all of you to go deeper and deeper into the liturgy, into the Word of God, because there are golden nuggets that are ready for all of us every day of our life. May the Blessed Virgin Mary, whose feast day we're going to be celebrating on Saturday, hopefully you love the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. It's a day in which we pray also for the sick. 1991 or 92, John Paul II proclaimed this to be the universal day for the sick. And we're going to be having a mini retreat that day. So pray that our retreat will go well, in which we pray for the suffering of the world. Amen.